Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been thinking together from the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. These books were written during Paul's travels, and in fact, they are called part of the travel epistles. The books of Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans are these six books written during Paul's travels. And these books are very important for us to understand, because they were written to new churches. They were written to believers like ourselves, who were perhaps even new believers, and who needed to know how they could go on with the Lord. Now, some of these books were very, very strong. When you look at the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul was writing back to a church with whom he had spent considerable time. He had been in Corinth more than a year and a half. But this church remained a very wicked and a very carnal church. It never did get really right with the Lord. Even though the Apostle Paul was there, he noted that these people were very proud of their Greek culture, and they were standing in their Greek culture. They were proud, arrogant people. They were selfish people. And so in 1 Corinthians, he has to admonish them concerning some 12 or even 13 different sins in that church. 13 different ways that they had strayed away from God, dealing with immorality, lack of spirituality, and various other things. And so in 1 Corinthians, he has to deal with this. And in 2 Corinthians, these people now have turned against him with a bitter, arrogant spirit, accusing him of many things which were false, of course. And so the Apostle Paul, throughout 2 Corinthians, is defending himself. It was not like this with the Thessalonican people, with the people of Thessalonica. These people were spiritual people. Even though they had not had a great deal of time with Paul when he was with them, he had sent back, of course, his co-workers, Timothy and Silas, but he had not had a great deal of time with them. But from the very beginning, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was sure, and from the very beginning, they seemed to follow the Lord with all their hearts. You see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where he highly commends these people for their faith and their hope and their love, and the spread of the gospel through them, how their testimony has gone throughout. Their testimony has gone throughout the Roman Empire. And so these people are spiritual people. Now, there's still people with needs, and we've noted some of these needs as we have gone along through this book. They're not deep sins that they're in, but their lack of knowledge sometimes, lack of growth in the Lord. So he's trying to talk to them in this book concerning the worthy walk before God and man. In fact, we gave this the title, Keeping a Worthy Walk Before God and Man. And so these people, as spiritual people, need to go on with the Lord until the very end, when the Lord Jesus himself will come, or when they go to be with him at death. Now, we've come now to chapter 5. I noted in the last lesson that in chapter 4, the end of the passage, beginning with verse 13 and going down to the end of chapter 4, he is trying to comfort them. Some of them were grieving. They had great sorrow over loved ones who had died, and they were unsure whether they'd ever see these loved ones again. Now, they did have the assurance that when we die, the inner part of us, our soul, goes to be with the Lord. We're still living in heaven, in other words, but we're without our bodies there in heaven. We're up there in soul, but we're without our bodies. But the promise of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a promise of the bodily resurrection of the dead. I have pointed out before, this is also taught throughout the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Not throughout the book, but throughout that chapter. It's a long, long chapter. And this teaching is taught again and again, that there is hope because of the resurrection of the Lord himself. There is hope for our future resurrection. Now, as we came into chapter 5, we notice that he's addressing two types of people in this first part of the chapter. First of all, he's addressing the unsaved and the danger these unsaved people face. And then he addresses the Christians themselves. Now, I want to read again a portion of this fifth chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 6 of chapter 5. I read the first part of that in the last lesson, and I want to begin with verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But those who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or die, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And let me go ahead with verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Now, we're not going to probably take this verse 12 today, but it follows this section in dealing with how Christians are to live and how they are to act in the world. So, in the last lesson, we pointed out that the unsaved have no hope if they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, at His coming, that coming is going to be a warning to them that they are lost in their sins. The Christians will be taken out. Hundreds of millions of Christians throughout the world will be taken out of the world and will be with the Lord, caught up with Him in the air, and will be with Him in heaven, and will someday come again with Him to rule and to reign on the earth. But the unsaved are going to be warned by the coming of the Lord. This day of the Lord, in other words, for them, is going to talk to them and speak to them very strongly concerning their future judgment. It is a terrible thing to be lost in sin. I know many people joke about this. They laugh about this. They mock the gospel. They mock the Lord Jesus Christ. They mock the Christians. But they should be warned that this coming of the Lord is a very, very serious time, because the unsaved are going to be hopelessly lost in sin. They're going to face the coming judgment of Christ, the coming judgment for the great white throne of God. And this coming judgment is not a day when they can escape. It's a day of judgment, the final judgment of the lost, when the lost are going to be condemned forever, they're going to be cast into hell, and there will be no escape for them. Now, again, some people joke about this. Some people make light of this, and they mock this, and they joke about they want to be there with their friends and so forth. No, you're not going to enjoy hell. Hell is going to be a terrible place of punishment for the lost. And so whether people are what we call self-righteous people who try to do good and so forth, you read about these in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, whether they people who've tried to keep the law of Moses, they've tried to keep every statute of the law, without the Lord Jesus Christ, they are still lost sinners. Even though they've tried to keep every little rule in the law of Moses, they still are lost sinners. Paul had to realize this in Philippians chapter 3, where in verses 4 to 6 he had said, as far as the law and righteousness under the law was concerned, I was blameless. But, he says, what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse or garbage, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, and so forth. And so the Apostle Paul had to realize this same truth, that without the Lord Jesus Christ, he himself was going to face the future judgment of God. So this is a warning. Then he turns from this warning to the unsaved, and he turns to the Christians themselves, and turns to the responsibility of the Christians to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to emphasize this again and again. We Christians are without excuse if we ignore the seriousness of that day for ourselves. In other words, it's true. We're going to be with the Lord. When I trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior from sin, I will never be lost in sin. The Lord Jesus gave the promise in John chapter 10, verses 28 to 30. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, what is he saying in this passage? That when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, Our salvation is eternal. We will never lose our salvation. We can be assured, when we have truly trusted Him as our Savior, that we are going to heaven when we die. But this warning is given to us. We are still to take very seriously the coming of the Lord. Because even though we're not going to face final judgment from God as Christians, we will go to heaven. We will spend eternity in heaven with Him. There will be no punishment for us. We still are accountable to the Lord Jesus, our Savior. In other words, we're going to face Him. And the Bible speaks, in fact, of the coming judgment seat of Christ. This is not a judgment of the lost. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. This is not a judgment of the lost. It is a judgment of the Christians when we're going to face the Lord Jesus and we'll give an account of ourselves to Him. Now, some people say, oh, this is only for reward. There'll be no disappointment, nothing in that day. No, I believe there will be disappointment. The Apostle Paul, I believe, is speaking of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, where he's saying, as a worker for God, he does not want to face the Lord Jesus and be ashamed of his actions in the world and the way he had preached the gospel. The Corinthians had divided the church over Paul and Apollos and Peter. There were three divisions in that church. And in fact, there was a fourth division. Some even said, we're of Christ. They're not really of Christ at all. They were carnal people dividing the church. And so the Apostle Paul said, I don't want any of you to be my followers because I'm going to face the Lord someday. And I'm going to be accountable to Him. And I want to stand before Him, unashamed before Him. That's what Paul seemed to be saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 to 11, he comes back to this subject again. And when the Lord Jesus comes, and after He comes and catches us up, we're going to face Him in heaven in that period of time that we're going to be there before we come with Him to rule and reign. And we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every one of us will give an account of himself according to what he has done, or whether it be good or bad. That's the way it's stated in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 to 11. And so the Apostle Paul says, knowing the fear of the Lord, knowing this day, I go out and I diligently persuade men. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, I persuade men. And so his work for God is completely dedicated to the Lord, because he knows even as a worker for God, he is going to face Jesus, and he might be ashamed before him when he faces him. So there's a responsibility for Christians. I don't want to labor this point too much, but there's a responsibility for Christians. And we have an important responsibility, and we dare not ignore it. Now, some Christians seem to be rather indifferent to this matter. In other words, they are not living completely for the Lord as they should. They're not completely dedicated to Him. They're not devoted to Him as they should be, loving Him with all their hearts and focusing on Him entirely and wanting to please and honor Him with their lives and separating from the world, all of these things which are characteristic of spiritual Christians. Some Christians simply seem to be indifferent, and they're going to be held responsible for this. There will be that day when they'll be held responsible for this. And the coming of the Lord is going to usher in that day for the Christians. When we're caught up, again, we're forever with the Lord, but we're going to face the Lord, and we're going to give account of ourselves before Him. And again, I mentioned in a previous lesson, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, which speaks of those who shrink back in shame from Him at His coming. Imagine a Christian like this, who's going to be caught up. What a wonderful thing to be caught up with Him. But at the same time, the fear of being ashamed when He comes. In other words, Lord, I'm not ready. I haven't really lived for You as I should. I've been dedicated to You as I should. And I'm not really ready to face You like this. Give me another chance. No, you're going to be caught up with Him and then face Him at His judgment seat. So there are responsibilities in preparing for the day of the Lord. And I'm going to just very briefly touch on this, and then we'll continue this in the next lesson. First of all, in verses 6 and 7, they are not to spiritually sleep as other people do, but are to be spiritually alert and sober or self-controlled. Now, this is very, very important. In other words, we're not simply relaxing. Well, I'm saved. I can do as I please. I can just go ahead and live my life. I don't need to worry about anything because I know I'm going to go to heaven. No, this day is a warning to us, a warning that we're to be sober. We're to conduct our lives in a very self-controlled way, in a very righteous way. We're to be focused sharply on the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Now, I want to emphasize, none of us are perfect. I'm not speaking to you as one who claims to be a perfect person. I'm saved in the Lord Jesus. I thank God for that. Sometimes I may fail, even as long as I've served the Lord. I've been serving the Lord now for something like 56 years, coming on 57 years. But in all of these years, I realize probably along the way, God has seen this failure and that failure in my life. So we're not perfect. But nevertheless, we can be focused on the Lord. We can be focused on the kind of life that He wants us to live. We can strive to live righteous, holy lives with the help of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. And we can be the kind of people that God would be pleased with and honored. We can serve Him by sharing the gospel with other people, by living righteously, of course, before them, and then sharing the gospel with them, and seeing them also come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that's what God expects of us. That's part of the responsibility of the Christian life. So His coming is not to be taken lightly, but is to constantly be given very serious consideration and attention. This is the teaching of verses 6 and 7. Now, one other thing I want to say. We also are armed with spiritual protection as we live in this world and wait for His coming. I probably cannot finish this in this lesson, but let me just touch on it now. He exhorts them, for instance, for the three parts of their perfection, of their protection, I should say. First of all, they're to have faith, then they're to have love, and then they're to have hope. These are three parts of their protection. Now, if you study Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, there's a very long explanation of the armor of God, our protection, in other words, the spiritual protection that we have and that we need as we walk before God. And I'll just touch on this in the next lesson. But I want to leave with you the warning that whether it's a non-Christian being warned by God to be prepared, or whether it's a Christian who may be living a life that's somewhat careless and somewhat indifferent, we are to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We're to prepare ourselves in salvation for the non-Christian and in living the Christian life for the Christian. May God help you if you have a need as an unsaved person or as a Christian to be prepared for the coming of the Lord.